It's time now for Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter, coming to you from the International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. International Christian Fellowship is a Bible-believing church that preaches the uncompromised Word of God and prays for you and your needs. Pastor Peter is bringing the message of salvation, healing, and deliverance throughout the world. Now, here is Pastor Peter.
Book of Mark, chapter 1, verse 15.
And saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye, and believe the gospel."
Now here in the book of Mark, starts the chapter 1 with the message of Jesus Christ. Other gospel, they don't start like that, but the Mark starts it. He says, this is the way Jesus preached. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent you and believe the gospel. That's what Jesus started. See what John the Baptist said. That is in Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 and 2.
In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand."
Now see here he says, repent you, for the kingdom of God or kingdom of heaven is at hand. But the Jesus Christ said a little bit differently. He says, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Now when you say time is fulfilled, somebody will say, I don't know what timing he is talking about. The time is fulfilled because Jesus Christ came at the right timing. If you read in the book of Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, here he's saying, at the last days, he spoke with us through his Son.
God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds.
See, now here he's saying, at the last days, God spoke to us through his Son. So the last days, Jesus Christ says, the time is almost fulfilled. So Jesus Christ was saying the time is fulfilled, that Jesus Christ is going to go to cross and give his life, and the salvation plan will be open to mankind. That's the timing he's talking about. When Jesus Christ started his ministry, in those days were the last days. So we are in the last days. You understand? Because the timing of Jesus Christ dying on the cross and going to heaven, now we are living in the last days. If you read any Peter or Paul or anyone, they are saying we are in the last days. So we are last days, very close to the second coming of Christ or the end of the world. So here is saying you have to repent and believe the gospel. We are in the last days, and that's what the message Jesus Christ gave, the John the Baptist gave, and we have the same message. The time is running out. We have to tell the people we don't have much time to waste. Jesus Christ is coming soon. Let's go back to the Mark chapter 1, verse 16.
Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, "Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little further thence, he saw James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, who also were in the ship mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him.
Now when you read it in a Mark, sounds like Jesus just walked to the shore, called the Peter, called the Andrew, called the James, called the John, and they gave up everything and followed. Now somebody will say, how it happened? Just Jesus Christ is walking and say, Peter, come and follow me, and John, come and follow me, James, come and follow me, and I mean, everybody followed him. It didn't happen like that, but why he's saying it's already done. But it didn't happen the way Mark said it. If you go to the St. John chapter 1 and start reading from verse 35 to 42.
Again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus.
Now see, here, John the Baptist introduced Jesus Christ. To whom? Two of his disciples. So you will see these two of these disciples followed. Now, name is not given, but later on you'll see the one name we know is Andrew. Another name is not given, that has to be John or somebody. Let's read.
Then Jesus turned and saw them following and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother.
Now see, one of them means his two disciples followed. How they followed? Because the John the Baptist saw Jesus and he says, Behold the Lamb of God. So they followed Christ. And they followed Christ, and one of the person, Andrew. And so other person's name is not given, but I'm just guessing that person has to be John. A little bit further, I'll let you know. Come on, let's read further up to 42.
He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone.
Andrew comes, sees Jesus, goes back to the Peter, brings the Peter, introduced to Jesus. Jesus changed his name, but still Peter and Andrew did not start a ministry yet. They just got friendship with Christ and just knew about him. And if there one of them was a John, he could go to James and say the same thing. See, Andrew introduced to Peter, and Peter knew now Jesus, and I know Jesus, and they might be start learning more about Christ. Let's go to the Luke chapter 5. Now here the story is Peter and Andrew, they are brothers, they are fishermen. James and John, they are fishermen and they are partners. And as we read it in the Mark, they had the servants. And so Mark only said, Jesus Christ called Peter, and then he called John and James, and they left all the fishing business to the servants, and they followed. But we are seeing how they came to know about Jesus. John introduced to Andrews, and maybe I'm saying John the Baptist, and John, and they're going back to their brothers and bringing them. Now let's read in Luke chapter 5, start reading from verse 1.
And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets.
Right. Now, here is the one Mark picks up, that they did the fishing, could not catch anything. Now they kept their boat in the water. They are going and checking their nets. The nets are cleaning or mending the nets. That's what they were doing. And Mark gave that story. But the story is a little bit further.
And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught.
Now, he was in the lake. People were following so many people and maybe pushing him so much. So he got the idea. Simon's boat is already there. They're already tired and cleaning their nets. So he went to the Simon's boat and said, take a little bit further because these people are coming close. So when the boat is up to 5 feet deep or 10 feet deep, nobody's coming to bother. So he finished his preaching. When he's finished his preaching, and they might have left. Now he's telling Peter, take your boat a little bit further and cast your nets.
And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net.
Now, from this we know Simon Peter knew Christ. So he did not argue with him. Even though he said, we toiled whole night and we didn't catch anything, but according to your word, we will cast the net. He would have said, you know what? I'm a fisherman. We know what kind of fish comes. And so I'm doing accordingly. How do you know you never did fishing business and you telling us where the fish is? But he did not argue. He just said it. We worked hard, but according to your word, we are doing it. So what we're learning, sometimes the situation looks like hopeless. But we use our brain to do everything and nothing works. Then when Jesus Christ says, okay, do this. Now somebody says, Jesus Christ is not here. How he talks with you? He will. You pray about it. Sometimes in a sleep, he will wake you up and he will give the idea. Or maybe you forgot about what you prayed and you're walking somewhere and all of a sudden something click in your mind. You remember what you're thinking about? This is the solution. And God gives you a solution. So here Peter got the solution. He did not argue. He said, okay, I will do it. Let's read a little bit further.
And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink.
See now, other partners. Who are the other partners? James and John, they were around there mending their nets. Now Peter gave some signal, come on, help us. And now they rush to help. Peter fills his boat. John and James fills their boat. Now both boat filled. And now too much weight, they start sinking. But thank God, because Jesus Christ was in their boat, the boat did not allow to go down to the bottom. Go ahead.
When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken.
Now here, somebody says, this much blessing Peter got. Why Peter is saying, get out of my boat? He was not saying angrily. He was saying, I am not worthy to you having in my boat. We were helpless. We didn't have any catch. And now we got this much and we are not worthy to you having around. We are sinful people. We are not godly people. We are just the fishermen. Read a little bit further.
And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him.
See, this is the real story. They knew Jesus Christ. They heard about him. They saw the miracles. And they realized that when we are with Jesus, within a few minutes, we got two boats filled with the fish. And now they are businessmen. Their fathers are businessmen. So they said they gave everything to them. We don't know the father's age, but they had servants. And so they were not abandoned. The servants were there to take care, and this was not a small business. It was like a big business. When you have partners and servants, it's a big business. But Peter, John, and James studied about Jesus Christ, saw the miracles, and now this is a personal miracle in their own life. When Jesus Christ says, now you're fishing this, you're working hard, I'm going to make you fishers of men. You catching fish, I will teach you how to catch people. For what? Peter says, I'm a sinner. Okay, I'm going to forgive your sins. I'm going to transform you. And then you're going to tell somebody about me. And people will come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And that's what the plan was. And all these disciples came to know this business is so difficult. And we are working so much for our belly. Let's follow the Christ and he will supply our needs. The word of God says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added unto you. We read that, but it doesn't come to our mind when we are in trouble. The word of God says, get busy in the Lord's work and God will supply your needs. I found out it's true. I followed the Lord when God gave me a call, just like Peter and John and James, and they gave up everything. I also did the same thing. I gave up everything. My paycheck, my money, whatever the money I got, I don't want to do the job. The man gave me double, triple money, and he said, go home, relax, and when you think that you made a mistake, come back. I'll give you the job in Bombay City. It's very difficult to get a job. I said, sir, I'm not coming back. And I left my home with one shirt and one pant and nothing in my hand. And so this is what you need, calling from God. Once you have calling from God, you're not going to look back. One minister I heard, he said, I gave up everything and I started working for the Lord and I got a hardship. I thought, why I gave up everything? Then I went and started working for the dairy farm, giving the milk house to house. And I said to this man, you know, if you have a real calling, you would not do this. Suffering will come, but the word of God says, when you put your hand to the plow, don't look back. Many people are thinking they came to the ministry, didn't work out, and went back to the world. Some people coming from India, they apply for the Bible colleges. When they get the admission to just come in and then give up the school for 6 months or 3 months and then get the secular job. And they're thinking they will be millionaire. But those people suffer. They never get success in their life. When God calls you and when you follow the Lord, don't turn back to the world. Keep on going. Same the Christian life. People start being a Christian for 6 months or 1 year and they say it's too difficult, I'll go back to the world and then I'll confess and then I'll come back. So their life doesn't prosper. These disciples, when they followed the Christ, not a single time I see James or John or anybody said, I made a mistake following Christ. Okay, let's go back to the Mark chapter 1, starting from verse 21.
And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority, and not as the scribes. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God.
Now see the situation. Now Jesus Christ and his disciples, they go to the temple or synagogue and he start preaching. He was preaching with a power and authority and giving the doctrines of Christ. And the people who were listening, they were so surprised. They were so, we never heard somebody like this. And this kind of teaching we never heard. He is teaching with the power of God, with the wisdom of God, and with authority. And so all this is the scribes and these Pharisees and highly educated people, they are sitting there and learning. And you can see all these people are sitting and learning, and there is another person sitting there and listening. Now, that person is not an ordinary person. That person is a demon-possessed person. So you can see demons also go to church. There are so many people, sometimes they go to church not to listen to pastor, not to getting blessing, but they come to destroy the church. They come to find some fault. Point I'm making, some people do not go to church to listen to the word of God. When you come to listen to the word of God, then you focus on Christ. We are here to worship the Lord. Now here comes the demon-possessed, unclean spirit man. All of those Sadducees and Pharisees and highly learned, educated people, they are looking for something to find a fault of Christ. But this person who is demon-possessed, he's shouting, crying out, what he's saying, Jesus of Nazareth. And he says, did you come to destroy us? All of a sudden, one person stands there and starts accusing the preacher. But he's not saying anything bad to Jesus. He's just saying, I know you are the Son of God. You are the Holy One of God. But I know you have come to destroy us. All those Pharisees and scribes, they are not believing Jesus Christ is the Son of God or Jesus Christ is the Holy One of Israel. But the devil is telling. The same way the Word of God is saying, some people say, oh, I believe in God. I believe in God. Book of James, he said, devil believes in God and he believes there is only one God and he trembles. We believe in God and we do anything. We say, oh, God is so gracious. We are not worried. But the devil believes in God and he trembles. But what is his problem? He's not repenting his sin. He's afraid that one day he's going to go to hell. That's why he trembles. But we have something better. If our heart condemns us, the word of God says our God is greater than our hearts. So our heart condemns, we go to the God and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me, cleanse me, change my heart. God will do it. Now this devil, or the demonic persons, he's shouting, recognizing Jesus Christ is the Holy One of God. Let's read verse 25.
And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him.
Now see, he's not saying anything bad, but he's revealing to people, he's the Son of God, he's the Holy One of God, and he is the real God. You remember there was a one lady when Paul was preaching, she was coming and said, these people are the servant of the living God. And she's coming and bothering. She was not saying anything bad. But he rebuked and cast that demon out. And then people came to know, even though she was saying something good, but she was disturbing. So what's happening, even though they're saying something good, but the intention is disturb the service. And that's what this devil came and started disturbing what Jesus Christ was preaching. Even though, see, he was not saying anything bad, but he did not want Jesus to preach to these people and let them also believe what Jesus Christ is all about. So Jesus Christ said, hold thy peace. In today's language, shut up. Don't talk. That's what he said. And he said to the devil, come out of him. Don't say a word. Shut your mouth and quietly get out of this man. And see what happens. Verse 26.
And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him.
Now, up to now, when Jesus Christ was preaching, they're already astonished. They are already surprised his preaching and his power and his authority and his knowledge. But now, all of a sudden, he cast the demon out. Not only that, he told the demon, shut up. Don't say a word. Don't argue. Quietly get out. And the devil did not argue one word. The man became completely healed and in right mind. So these people start thinking, wow. What kind of power? what kind of authority, what kind of doctrine he has. And they were so much surprised. Now they saw the miracle. Let's see verse 28.
And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee.
Now see, once they saw the miracle, I don't know how many people were there. Once they saw the miracle, the fame went around the whole Galilee. When I was in India, I went to one place and there was a round circle and there was a shopping center. But the Sunday or Saturday shopping center was closed, so I thought it's a good idea to have a meeting here. When I talked to the doctor's brother, I said, you live in here, you know the police officers, you know everybody, let's do a meeting here. He said, Pastor Peter, this is a Muslim town. They will kill you. They will kill us too. I said, follow me. And I went to the police officer and I said, I need a permit for the loudspeaker. Now that day was Friday. He said, permit is for Saturday. And so he said, okay, what are you going to do? So I said, we are going to do divine healing services, gospel addresses and divine healing services. He said, whatever you want to do, go ahead. And he gave me the permit. And I said, sir, tomorrow is Saturday, and if you're not there and somebody comes and try to stop me, then what? He said, these are the policemen, I'm going to tell them. Hey, come here. This guy is going to have service. Don't disturb him. He said, okay, we will not disturb. I got the permit. I got the platform. I got the lights. I got the Petromax all around. And then I start preaching. When I start preaching, they start saying, oh, religion, Christian religion, and everybody start going. I say, hold on. You don't want to listen about Christianity. Wait a few minutes. The time will come. You will see the miracles. And then you will be crowding here, and I will have a hard time to get out of here. And so they waited. And after the preaching, I said, if there is anyone sick, please come. One man came running. When he came running and had jumped on the stage, I thought he might be punching me. I said, sir, what can I do for you? He said, 13 years, somebody was beating drum in my head. And today I heard your voice and about Jesus, everything stopped. So I said, what do you want me to do? Pray that this will not come back. So I prayed. As soon as he gave the testimony in the microphone, people started rushing. And I was there up to midnight. And then when they were coming, I just went in the back door and walked away. And these people say, where this man went? And I went to the doctor's office. They were second floor and I was standing there. 1 o'clock, I see all the people are crowding that house. But thank God they did not do anything, just banging the door. So this man came down and said, what do you want? They send this man down. We want him to pray for us. He said, he's tired now. He's going to go to another town. And we gave the address 25 to 30 miles from that town. And we left there. Before we went, these people were crowding there. So what I'm trying to say, when Jesus did a miracle and whatever the people were in that town, so many people, they heard it. And now the fame went around the world.
You've been listening to Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter of International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. If this program has been a blessing to you, please let Pastor Peter know. Write to Pastor Peter at Post Office Box 5033, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19111. Again, that's Pastor Peter, Box 5033, Philadelphia, PA, 19111. Pastor Peter and his prayer partners are taking your calls right now. The number is 215-342-3759. Again, that's 215-342-3759. You can also send email to icfprayerline@comcast.net. Every Sunday at 11 a.m., International Christian Fellowship has a worship service with communion and healing service. You can find more information at www.internationalchristianfellowship.org. This is a faith ministry. Your prayers and financial support are greatly appreciated. And please remember to tune in next time for Jesus is the Answer.